Sore throat already? Chandler's sleeping. Ah. Wake her up. Tell her Santa Claus finally got here. No. I'm just kidding about all that right there. All right, good singing all the way around. We'll have some more of that right there. Brother Joe, now, when you going to sing again? You know, you had a song. Y'all sung something. When you going to be singing that again? We never want that punishment. I thought it was mighty great and grand. Take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We're going to be looking over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, if you find the place there, in the book of 2 Thessalonians. All right, and when you look there in the chapter there, if you find the place, you're able to stand. And we'll notice, let's just begin reading with about verse number 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. If you're a believer tonight, you admire him. If you're an unbeliever, you could care less. He says unto you to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and how we thank you for being able to be here tonight. We pray that now you'd right every wrong, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, revive the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight, when Jesus comes in flaming fire. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that somehow or another, the religious but lost world, they just want to believe that, I don't know, he's a big brother, everything's going to be all right, that he wouldn't do anything to harm anybody anywhere. I got to say to you that, if you will, that he is King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And when he comes again, that Bible said he's coming with vengeance, and that he's going to execute vengeance on them that obeyed not the gospel, that believed not God, and that did not receive him in the free pardon of sin. Now I'm going to tell you, there's only two places you can go in life. When you leave here, you're either heaven bound or you're hell bound, one of the two. In this lesson we're looking at, I hope tonight that every one of you, and some of these boys and girls or these little ones, may not yet know the Lord, but let me tell you, I trust that you're at the age and knowledge of accountability, that God's been tugging at your heart, that you've repented toward God by faith, believed the Lord Jesus, and got washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, in the lesson we're looking at, people do not like in this day and hour to believe that there's an eternity in hell. They know about some heartaches and heartbreaks in life, but they just don't want to believe that, I don't know, that heaven is for any individual, or excuse me, that hell is for any individual. They believe heaven is, but they don't want to believe that hell is going to be for a torment of any individual, and they're in for a rude awakening. In this lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 9, don't turn there, but verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. This Bible said in various places that we're looking at is that here's what you're going to need to know. Sooner or later, there's going to be somebody that's called a Jehovah's Witness or like them that's going to knock on your door. They're going to have another person with them. One of them's a trainer, and the other's a trainee. And what they're going to be able to do is they're going to try to tell you that there's no such thing as a place called hell, that that's only the grave. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things a little bit tonight to where you'll know these are not things that happen in the grave. And they'll deny that there's a heaven to be had and a hell to shun, and they don't want to acknowledge that. Poor old Billy Graham, whenever he got old, and I'm going to credit to his old, he got to side with the Pope that maybe hell is just a mental state. Well, I got to tell you something. You're going to think you're in hell whenever you die without the Lord. And not only that, you're going to be there. And let me say to you that it's going to be for everlasting and ever and ever. And let me say to you that there's three words that are in the Bible that's used in connection with hell. Now, one of them is Sheol. And that's a Hebrew word. And Sheol is a place for the grave. But I'm going to tell you, you won't find some things in Sheol that we're going to mention here tonight about hell. Then there's the word Hades. In some of the newer translations, you know, they felt like hell was too harsh, and so they put the word Hades in there, and so forth and on. And then there's a third word that's called Gehenna, that deals with the lake of fire, that deals with the place that you and I are calling the bottomless pit. It's where the fire is never quenched. It's flaming fire and the vengeance of God upon them that know him not. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, that certainly that hell, if a person dies and without the Lord, they're going to hell immediately. Hell is for the spirit. That's why if you go out there to the graveyard, people who were blasphemers against God that did not want to believe him, they died without hope, without God, and went to a devil's hell. But their body's not in hell yet. Their body's only there in the grave, and they're waiting for the day of resurrection, the resurrection of damnation. And they're waiting until that finally they'll be joined spirit, soul, and body into the lake of fire, which is called the bottomless pit where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. In the lesson that we're looking at here, let me say to you quickly, is that the Lord says in verse number 9 of our text, who, did you notice there's a who there, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight and you think, man, I'm tired of listening to preaching. I'm tired of people bothering me about the things of God. Well, you're listed in this who that's going to be punished from the presence of God. You don't want to hear about God? You're not going to ever get to from then on after that God pulls you out of this world that we're living in. This Bible said that in verse number 9, who shall be punished? Look at that. There's not going to be a welcome sight. It's going to be a punishment there for those that don't know him. Look in verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. You ever wondered why that there's a lot of people out there that the who fits them? They're blasphemers. They hate God, the Bible, that which is good, right, moral, and decent. They hate all of that. That's who they are. Did you ever notice and you wonder, well, when's God going to do something about that? Verse number 10, when he comes to be glorified in his saints. Now, I want to give you a couple of three things real quickly. One of them's here, don't lose your text and thought, but in the book of Matthew in chapter number 25. In the book of Matthew chapter number 25, there's a passage over there that we ought to be looking at. You remember over there in the book of Luke, do not turn there, chapter 12, whenever he says, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, but afterwards there's no more they can do. I'll tell you who you're to fear him that after that he's killed the body can cast your soul into a place called hell. In this lesson we're looking at here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, verse 41. In the passage that's there, notice what he says when you look at it, chapter 25, book of Matthew, verse number 41. He said, then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire. What kind of fire? Everlasting fire. That's a fire that's never going to burn out. That's the flaming fire that he's coming in vengeance with. Everlasting fire, notice, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that there's an everlasting fire. Have you ever been to the graveside and you ever seen a grave after that it's been dug and the coffin hadn't yet been put in there? Have you ever looked down inside one of those? They're about 6 foot deep, so forth and on. You ever notice? Has anybody that's ever looked into one of those graves ever seen it flaming fire? No, you hadn't. You know why? Because you'll find that Sheol may be representative of the grave. But let me tell you, when God talks about it, He's talking about when a person goes to hell, it's in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. You'll never see that in the grave. Notice in verse 46, same chapter, the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, and in verse number 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. I got to tell you right now, do you know what everlasting punishment is? It's a pain that never goes away. It's an agony and torment that never stops. In fact, is what you're going to see is that if hell was only a garbage dump like they're trying to make it, well, probably after the worms ate you up a while and after you tormented for a while, it'd be over and said and done. That's not the way it's going to be. Let me say to you that, if you will, please, look in the book of Mark in chapter number 3. Mark chapter 3. It's important that you remember that when somebody comes up and gives you some of that malarkey and some of that lie and falsified doctrine, that you know that, hey, God made it very plain, Jesus made it very plain, that there's a heaven to be had and a hell to shun. In the book of Mark chapter 3, look at about verse number 29. But he that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger, notice, of eternal damnation. Now, you know what that is? That's judgment that never ceases. That's a pronouncement of judgment, and it's going to have flaming fire, as we've already seen, take part with it, but it's never going to cease. All right, in our text that we're looking at here tonight, the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 1 and verse number 9, as we looked at that, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, let me just say to you that, if you will, that all these years that I've been here, I've been here a lot longer than some of you have been in the world, and that's fine. And let me tell you, what makes me right about the subject is the Holy Word of the Lord. And let me tell you, the reason why that I scream so frantically is I'm trying to awaken you to see yourself like God sees you. I do not want to see you die without God, without hope, without the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want to see you die and go to a devil's hell. I want to see you die in the Lord and spend eternity in heaven with me and the Lord and all the saints of God. Here you are sitting here tonight. God may be knocking on your heart's door. It might be you that He's about to single out and call out. I hope you'll listen to Him, because let me tell you, all the traits that we've looked at tonight, everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, everlasting damnation, everlasting destruction, the grave has none of that, has none of those traits, but hell does. And let me say to you, along with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a fellow by the name of Thomas Watson, here's what he said. He says, let them fear death whom fear not sin. If you're not afraid of sin and not afraid of the devil, you better be afraid of death. Because let me tell you, it's going to be an evil awakening, a rude awakening when that evil time comes in that line. Over there in the Bible said, don't turn there, chapter number Psalm, verse 116. He said over in about verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. Now, it makes us cry when a saint of God has to leave this world. It makes us sad, it makes us weep, but in the sight of God, it's a precious thing. It's in the sight of God, because the reason they're precious in His sight is because they're saints of God. They've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. Let me tell you right now, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that it makes God sad, or makes us sad, whenever a child of God goes home before that we do, but it makes God glad that He's been able to redeem them and bring them out. Somebody made a statement by the name of Richard Sibbs. Listen to what he said. Death is only a grim porter that lets us into a stately palace. I like the way he's pointed that. You've heard me say every now and again, if I leave before you do, if you come to my funeral, whenever it's all said and done, if you'd like to, you can jump up and down on my grave. That's what I'll be doing. I know you're not going to do that. You're not going to be able to do that because of respectability and stuff like that. But I'm just saying to you that literally, I'm long gone. See? In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that a fellow by the name of Richard Baxter said, rebirth brings us into the kingdom of grace and death into the kingdom of glory. And that's true. I want to say that the words of caution that are given that are in the Bible there, you'd better not leave this world without the Lord. You'd better not spend all your time and all of your effort and all of your mentality and all of your effort on yourself and the things of this world. There's a word of caution that's given. And then not only that, there's a word of comfort. That's the reason why over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 that he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, to the lost, without hope, without God, here's what happens. The second death is more horrible than the first one. And here's why. The first death, only the spirit is suffering. The second death, the spirit, the soul, and the body are going to suffer as they're cast into the lake of fire. I got to tell you right now is, I don't know, we could go on and on and on, but whenever you're here tonight and you're sitting here and listening, I'm reminded in days gone by, not many moons ago, that the Bible said, I've set before you, and he's talking to Israel, anybody that'll listen, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. God's waiting for you to choose life. You know, anybody that dies without hope, without God, and goes to a devil's hell, it's not because the Lord doesn't love them. He comes and takes in flaming fire vengeance upon them that know not God, who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, but not because he wouldn't have saved them, because they did not want to admire him and to believe what he said about him. You know, whenever you're sitting around sometime in your daily devotion, it might be in the confines of your home, hopefully your air conditioning's working. It might be out on the porch or under a shade or wherever that it is. But while you're admiring how good God has been to you, I'm amazed at how good God has been to me. And every now and again, it won't hurt for you to exercise yourself by praising and exalting and magnifying His name, His name. I've gotten better than I ever expected. Certainly more than I ever deserved. That's the reason why that I say over and over again, this is an awful place. We can preach out of a bunch of H's. Hell's a horrible place. It's a haunted place full of devils. It's a helpless place. You'll never get out of it. See? I got to say to you that if you will, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he did for me what I could never have done for myself. And he reached down and snatched me as a brand from the burning. That's the reason in light of this I'm always saying, I say it often, I don't just always talk about Frank and Bill. But I'll tell you, I like talking about Frank and Bill. And let me tell you what I am saying is that if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. You'd be there with me too. See? You'd be there with me too. Well, it's time to get ready to go. Landon's awake now. He's looking my direction. I know it's going to be a good, fun time as we get ready to leave here tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Now, Father, we thank you for